91.3, and welcome back to Voice of the Cape Drive Time. The last week or so hasn't been very good in the world of journalism. Not only threats from the Black Land First group, but of course the tragic passing of Suna Venter, and earlier today, former Saudi Gazette and independent media journalist Ghaleb Yonker was laid to rest, having passed away yesterday. Ghaleb, an Afrikaans revert, was a colorful character who wore his heart on his sleeve. And someone who knew him well is Muhammad Jacobs, a senior layout sub-editor at the Cape Times, who worked closely with Ghaleb during his time at independent media when he came back from Saudi. And also online, Farid Said, Muslim Views editor, who knew Ghaleb since the 1980s. Muhammad Jacobs and Farid Said, gentlemen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Walaikum salam, and thanks for inviting us.
Walaikum salam.
Muhammad Jacobs, it's a sad day, isn't it? I know that you worked with Ghaleb for some time when he came back from Saudi Arabia, Saudi Gazette. You worked with him in the subroom.
No, that's correct. At independent newspapers, those days it was called, not independent media, it's actually changed the name. It was normally independent newspapers. But yes, for a long time, for probably more than 6-7 years, I worked with Ghaleb.
And, I mean, what were your impressions of Ghaleb? I mean, how a lot of us remember him as a big guy, a guy with a big heart, and I always say somebody who wore his heart on his sleeve. You always knew what Ghaleb felt about things. He was very honest about that, wasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. The one thing that I'll never forget about him is the fact that he'd never stand back to anybody, to any editor also. I mean, no headline would go past him that's got Muslim in it, so he used to fight for Islam, wherever. It doesn't matter what editor there was. He would just fight tooth and nail for Islam, basically, defend Islam.
In fact, I can remember him telling me about some of those battles. Unfortunately, some of it involving my copy in those days, but nevertheless, that's another story. But generally speaking, spending your time with Ghaleb and all of that, I'm sure you'll agree that he was definitely a very unique person. He didn't come from the normal background that people would come from in our community, for example.
Although he was from Afrikaans background, and also myself, also from Afrikaans background. So I'll just take you a little bit way back. That's probably how the two of us jaw. He spoke to me a lot about his memories. I'm from a little town called Mafeking, and used to go down that memory lane, basically telling me how he used to cross the borders, going to exile and fly from Botswana to Saudi Arabia and stuff. And those things made him stronger, the fact that they had to fight all those battles in the apartheid era, coming back from Saudi and still having to fight in the newsrooms with the editors. Because remember, most of, say, 10, 15 years ago, most of the newsrooms were still 80-90% white.
That's right,
and
yes.
So the battle continued, even though he came back into that's supposed to be the new era.
Muhammad, some of those editors must have been shocked out of their skins when this huge Afrikaner-looking guy would confront them on these issues. That really must have shocked them.
Yeah, no, definitely. Some of them actually, they tried to avoid him at all costs.
All right. Farid Said, Muslim Views editor. Farid, of course, you remember Ghaleb from the 1980s and his courage in going all the way to Saudi Arabia and going through the Sharia courts there. Farid, salam alaikum. Tell us something about that.
Oh, alaikum salam. Yes. In fact, I must just share with you how I got in touch with Ghaleb. And as you said, it was back in the 80s. In fact, we have been around about 1979, probably late 70s, early 80s. And, as I said, this Afrikaner guy phones me and he says, look, it's Muslim news. I've got a story, to report, and it's about a Muslim employer who does not allow his staff to take off during the Waqt of Jummah, and in fact keeps his shop open. And I said, well, what's your interest in the story? You know, he said, well, I'm a organizer for the Commercial Catering and Allied Workers Union, and I represent these workers, you know. And that's how we got through. And in fact, we didn't even need to publish the story. Just walking in with Khalid.
Right.
And Khalid said, look, this is Farid Sayed, he's from Muslim News. I was a junior reporter, both in terms of experience and size compared to Khalid. So Khalid did the talking. And but that was my first meeting with Khalid, and always, you know, someone who had the courage of his convictions, didn't step back from a fight. And he always, you know, he stood his ground. In fact, there were times when we engaged each other. We differed. We had different positions on certain issues. But it was, again, always he was very firm. But, you know, there was always that respect that he had for people. And this is, you know, this was illustrated very clearly when he went to Saudi. His first marriage, his wife was an Ahmadi, or her father was an Ahmadi. And Khalid, I know the story well because he stayed just off Belgravia Road at that time, and the Muslim News office was in Belgravia Road. So we had almost daily contact. And when he was going through this, you know, and he said, so the only way I can get out of this is to move to Saudi. And he took his children with, and the wife followed, and she, ex-wife now, of course. And then she asked for custody of the children. And then he said, well, this matter must go to the Sharia court in Saudi. And the Saudis then ruled, he says, look, you know, you have to renounce, no, the ex-wife, you have to renounce Ahmadiyyism. And if not, you've got 3 days to leave the country. And that is how, you know, that was his heart. So Khalid didn't step back, you know, even in his personal life. And, of course, you know, was married to Fawzia for over 30 years, happy marriage. And, you know, my last engagement with him was via Facebook, you know, and I think just the day before he passed away, in fact, he said he was going to take a rest or something. But, you know, he was at it again, you know. It was, I think his last statement was about Cyril Ramaphosa, when someone said, you know, Cyril for president, you know. He said, well, I prepare for a capitalist president, you know. Now, that was so typical Khalid, you know. He didn't mince his words. But we had fond memories. We also worked together. He was an active member of Qibla in the early days. So we worked closely at that time as well, both as journalists and, you know, attending the Stekhmandud Masjid with Imam Sepp there. Imam Sepp, he was particularly close to Imam Sepp. So fond memories of Khalid Yonkher Shafiq.
Absolutely. Muhammad Jacobs, I mean, one thing about Khalid was he was incredibly a loyal person. I mean, just about a year ago, some people attacked me on Facebook, and guess who came to my defense? Khalid. Guns blazing.
Yeah, definitely. That's Khalid, eh?
Absolutely loyal.
Yes, no, definitely, 100%. He'll defend you no matter what. If there's anything to do with Islam, and it's not right, or there's something wrong with the article, I promise you, he would throw his tools out of the window and try and fix it as soon as possible. And that was just him. And his favorite words to me, and I mean, that's the line that I will probably not ever forget, is he used to call me Buti. And he'd say, Buti in Afrikaans, and he would say, Buti. He would bang this for niemand anywhere, net Allah. That was his words to me, and I mean that line will stick to me for the rest of my life.
No, absolutely. You know, simple words, moving words, but boy, I mean, isn't it the truth?
Yeah, I know, definitely, 100%.
And I mean, what do you think, Khalid, at the end of the day, brought to the independent in those days newspapers newsroom? Because I can remember there were very edgy days, weren't they? Because there was a lot of antagonism, let's be honest about it, in the newsroom about the transition that everybody knew was going to happen. And Khalid was, in a sense, ironically, at the cutting edge of it.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was definitely. That's why I say Islamophobia, those days were rife already. I mean, so it trickle through the media because of most of the media, the newsrooms were mainly white dominated. So those things that trickle through, he used to try and find it and basically stop it from going public. So that thousands of people don't read headlines about every second headline, the Muslim did that and a Muslim did this, etc., etc. And we used to try and stop that from going to print. And sometimes when the editors confronted us, we used to stand together and just say, no, but if this was a Christian guy, would you put Christian in the headline? If it was a Christian guy that killed somebody, say, in the street, you wouldn't say Christian man kills this and that and the other. So why would you call, if it's a Muslim man, why would you want to do that now? So basically, I really take my hat off with this guy. He was one of a kind. I'm going to miss him a lot. Just last week, he sent me a WhatsApp to tell me, also in Afrikaans, he basically told me, my hake is nog gedaan. Ek is tevrede. Ek het 'n goeie innings gehad. Alhamdulillah. And I think those words just sum it up, that he basically fought his entire life for Islam. And what a great guy. I'm really going to miss him, eh?
Absolutely. And Farid, sort of concluding words from your side about, the life and times that you spent with Ghalib Yonker? Definitely a character, definitely a stalwart, and definitely a principal person on our landscape.
Yeah. You know, Ghalib had a powerful presence, and we all know, we've just heard he stood his crown, etc. But, the correspondence that I used to have with him, and it was via fax, when he was with the Saudi Gazette, I think that will always stand out for me. You know, he didn't budge. So we know of his experience here in the newsroom at the independent newspapers. But that was the attitude and approach at the Saudi Gazette as well. If an article, if they wanted to spike a piece of his, he stood his ground. And many, many people who have been, in fact, one of his Facebook friends, in fact, said he used Ghalib as a reference. He used Ghalib's contacts and know-how and how to deal with people when he was in Saudi. So this, to me, tells me so much about Ghalib being a person who was giving. He shared, and this is what I will, this is a memory I have of Ghalib. And as a young reporter, he used to come through to Muslim News and tagging along with him while he was doing his union work. He gave a person, especially as a young journalist, one needed that kind of courage. And Shabik, in the apartheid era, it wasn't easy being a journalist. You see a cop and you shiver. But, with Ghalib along on your side,
yeah, the cop shivers.
You always start courage. So I would remember him as a person. If you had him next to you, you certainly had a lot of courage and confidence. He gave a person a lot of confidence. That's the memory I'll have of Ghalib Yonker.
Absolutely. Muhammad Jacobs and Farid Sayed, thanks for your input on paying tribute to Ghalib Yonker. And I say for myself, Ghalib, we are all going to miss you in the journalistic world. May you have Jannat al-Firdaus, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Amen.
Inshallah.
Salam.
Drive Time on 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.